it's time to experience the Synergy Connection Show with your host, Lucy Forsting.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Synergy Connection Show, where we have, for I guess the past 5+ years now, tried to help people understand that we are really very complicated human beings. Yes, we're physical, and without the physicality, I mean, we wouldn't exist, at least not on a physical plane. We would otherwise. We are emotional. Everybody knows, you know, the different emotions we have, from being angry to being in love with somebody to being anxious to feeling very calm. And we have a lot of different emotions. We also are intellectual. I hope we're learning every single day something. It can be tiny or it can be major, but learn something every single day. And I jokingly say that I want to be learning even at my last breath, because I'm hoping at that point that that window kind of opens up and I go, oh my goodness, this is exactly what I thought it was going to be. And it'll be a confirmation. So always be learning something. The fourth area is the spiritual realm. And that's one of the things that we're going to talk about today with Karen Herrick. And Karen has been my guest. I think maybe this is our fifth recording that we've done together. And so we're going to be talking about, is there life after death? And we're going to get into that in just a few seconds here. I want to remind everyone that there is a website called www.synergyconnectionradio.com. All of the shows are archived there under show notes. So you can go back over, I think there's 32 pages now of shows that you'll be able to, you know, check out, and maybe there'll be somebody there that you absolutely want to follow, Karen being one of them. The other thing is there is a link to Boomers Forever Young. And Boomers Forever Young are products that I have used for the last almost 8 years. And they are really amazing, amazing products that look at reverse aging. And so that's one of the things, I think, if you're over the age of 45, you realize that there are some parts of your body that are not working quite as well as you might like for them to work. So the reverse aging, in my mind at least, is very important if we want to stay young and vital. And their newest product, which I've been using since March, is called Myotrol. So it's M as in Mary, Y-O, T as in Tom, R-O-L. I would encourage everyone to look at this product, read the reviews, look at the research. All you have to do is go to boomerboost.com and you're going to be able to go right into their website and read about Myotrol. The inventor's name is Eric Kurtz, and there is a video, an interview with him. But the Myotrol, for me at least, is all about stamina and strength, and just feeling more vital, and also having your memory just work better. I never did really wander around wondering where I put something, but there are times when memory sort of fails us. We go to search for a word and it just doesn't come, or maybe somebody's name. And I used to use the alphabet method, you know, like start with A and just kind of run it through my mind until it locked on to maybe one letter. But Myotrol does help with memory. It helps with stamina, strength. It rebuilds muscle. And if you know anything about getting older, you've heard this over and over again, that when you begin to lose your muscle mass, that's when it gets dangerous, because we can fall, we can break a hip, we can do all kinds of damage to our bodies, just because the muscle mass is declining. And we do lose 1% of our muscle mass every single year. So if you're 50, you're just beginning to lose it, unless you've been a very sedentary individual. But just think, by the time you're 70 or 75, you've lost 20 to 25% of that muscle that you once had, that held you upright, that kept you strong. And that if you did fall, it wasn't such a big deal. You might have a few bumps and bruises, but you weren't breaking things. And so that's the difference. So check out Myatrol. If you decide you're going to order anything, if you just put my first name in the discount box, they're going to give you 15% off. And they do that because they do sponsor the program. And I've been talking about their products for all these years, but they're wonderful, wonderful products. So I encourage people to go check it out. Again, the name of that product is Myatrol, and it's brand new. You can't get it any place except this company. The inventor of it did his research and decided that this was a company that he wanted to introduce his product to the world through. And that's why we have it. I don't know whether we'll have it forever, but we certainly have it now. So I would encourage you to check it out. All right. So welcome back, Karen.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
You told me it's a little chilly where you are, but it's going to have a great afternoon for you in the 50s.
Right.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. I mentioned that I probably am looking at relocating back to the state of Wisconsin this coming summer from Florida. I think going through two hurricanes, one tropical storm, and another one that bordered on a hurricane in 13 months sealed the deal for me. I was like, I am over this. And the traffic patterns down here, people are still coming to Florida to the tune of 1,000 people a day. And the infrastructure isn't here. We don't have the, you've got your major highways that are in gridlock most of the time, but you can't get from point A to point B. If it was 10 miles, it could take you 45 minutes.
It's
Go 10
terrible.
miles. Yeah. And so as I'm getting older, it's just kind of like, you know what? I thought I was coming down here for the sunshine and the beach and the dolphins and the turtles and everything else. Been there, done that. I think I'm ready just to go back to a quieter way of life. So, anyways, we have talked, you and I have talked privately as well as on the show about life after death and, what happens or what we think happens. And so I know you are going to be doing a course, right?
Well, yeah, it's a 3-hour webinar for therapists, but anybody can take it. But they're taking it for 3 educational credits. Yeah, it's about a new book that the APA has published last year, 2023, saying that there is something after death. So other
Isn't it
therapists.
funny that they just now are going, there's something after death?
Well, they got 1994 and the DSM-4, they tried to get a new diagnosis, at least these 3 psychiatrists from California, because they were seeing people with spiritual experiences in mental hospitals that were being drugged and they weren't mentally ill. They were having a spiritual experience. So, but they made that into a V code and never mentioned mystical experiences or near-death experiences, which were the statistics at that time that 30 to 40% of the population in the United States and England were having them. Now, 40 to 50% of the population in America and Great Britain are having some type of spiritual experience. And now this book has been written as a result of all the anomalous experiences that people with near-death experiences have had.
Right. So when you say that 50% or more of people are having spiritual experiences, what does that really mean, a spiritual experience?
Well, it can mean all kinds of things. For instance, in the book, what they're saying that they want everybody to now look into are the death phenomena when you sit with somebody who's dying and maybe you have a you go with that person for a little while and then come back, or you see the person looking, it's usually to the left corner where they're seeing grandpa or somebody who's coming for them, and they're talking to spirits. And the book is written from the perspective of the spirit, the person who is dead, which is really good. Of course, I've been studying this for 25 years, and so a lot of what they're saying I've seen so many times, but it's so nice because therapists believe what the APA says. But they want us to look at after-death communication, deathbed phenomena, mediumship, which is still very controversial because you have to find a good medium, like a good anything, and trust them, possession, which we don't see that much in offices. I think I've seen maybe four or five possessed cases in my 35-year career. But I just met somebody at the senior center now that I moved to Nevada who was possessed for years. And so a lot of people don't talk about that. And they have to try to find a healer or someone that can release that spirit. And then the near-death experiences themselves, how many people are having them? And then past life experience and reincarnation. So those are the six, I think it is, that they want us now to look at.
Okay, so we're going to look at maybe the first couple ones on the
Yes.
show today, and then we can go ahead and move towards the last grouping, when you and I get together in the spring sometime.
Sure.
There's just so much research, I'm sure, that's out there, as far as this kind of phenomenon. And Raymond Moody was one of the first ones that actually did this, years ago. And what did you find? I mean, in the research that he did, Kubler-Ross began to study just the grief stages, but didn't Raymond Moody come in as one of the very first ones that looked at the spiritual connection, being able to talk to patients who had died during surgeries and they saw things that happened to them on the table?
Yes, he created the term near-death experience. He said, Karen, they seem like they died, but they came back, right? So that was in 1975. So there's one where, for instance, at the time she realized her mother was dead. She felt she left her body, the woman, and became aware her mother was hovering next to her. So she kind of followed her in her death process. Her mother was now smiling and quite happy, a stark contrast to her corpse down below. She also saw that there was a breach in the universe in the corner of the room from which the light was pouring. Out of the light emerged deceased friends of her mother's. Her mother drifted off into the light together with her friends, and then the breach closed and the light was gone, and she found herself back in her body, standing next to her deceased mother by the bed. And so that is Moody's book, Glimpses of Eternity.
How many people get, that's such a new idea that we can kind of go with them up to a point
Right.
and then we come back. So, that must be an amazing gift to be able to do that and actually know that it's not the person who has clinically died, like Raymond Moody's people. But this is somebody with a loved one that can travel with them for that short distance and
Right.
then say goodbye. And then they're back in the physical, but the other person is there deceased.
Now, we don't have statistics as to how many people that happens to. But of course, one of the things I know, in order to have a spiritual experience, you need not to think. You need to be very quiet. And of course, if you're sitting by your mother's bed who's dying, you're quiet and you're just in the process of watching her. And so, therefore, if you are in this quiet state, maybe not in your normal state, where your brain is working, you have a tendency more to have these spiritual experiences.
Have you ever talked to anyone yourself that maybe has had that?
No, not that has. They have seen spirits from their family come, but not. I haven't talked to anybody who's had that. So, but I guess there must have been enough research for him to say this is something we need to look at.
The other thing that I was wondering, and I don't know whether you read about this part of it as to what makes it happen, that opening on the left. I wonder why it's on the left as opposed to on the right, or maybe straight ahead.
Well, I've always been taught that we receive with our left and we give out with our right
Well, this
energy.
is interesting because I know that I've read that too. But every time I've ever received information, it has come in on my right.
Well, okay, so a lot of mediums will say that it comes in on this side, that side. One medium said if it comes on this, it's from the male side. If it comes on this, it's from the female side. And somebody else says it comes right into their third eye. So I think it's just how we are particularly built. There's a lot of individual differences.
Right. I've never had anything come in on my left,
Okay.
but I've had lots come in on my right, where it's not like I even feel the energy or the presence of someone. It's just like it's talking through my right ear somehow, and
That's
it's
right.
giving me information that way, and I'll go, wow. And I've had messages for other people come that way, where I've been working with somebody as a psychotherapist, and all of a sudden I'll get a very strong message. Like, okay, somebody wants you to know this, and
Yes.
I'll just tell them what I'm hearing.
And people who are listening, when you get a message from spirit, it does come on the sides of your ears. That's the best way for a spirit to get information into you. Of course, then it hits the vagus nerve, which is vibration, and then hear it. So you're not going to hear it inside your head, you hear it outside your head.
Outside, you're right.
That's
Right.
right.
And for me, it's always been a male. What I
Speak.
think is a male voice,
Okay.
rather than a higher pitched female voice. It's a very low, kind of a calm voice, but a very low voice.
Yes, okay. We have another one where a mother holds the hand of her 15-year-old son who's dying, and she feels a surge or a vibration as he died. So to me, that's the spiritual body that holds the soul leaving up the vagus nerve out the top of your head. She felt that vibration in the body. The shape of the room changed into a field of intense light, and there was a vision of everything that her son had done with her right in the middle of it, beaming a bright smile of joy. And she experienced this in his life review. So when a person dies and goes over, even if it's a near death or a regular death, they have a life review, usually a movie of, that's what they say it seems like, from the time they were born until the day they die. And then in cases, they have seen past lives and they don't believe in reincarnation. So that's another reason why they're studying reincarnation now, because so many people have seen their past lives.
So they can begin to say, okay, this is something that bears looking at.
Right. It's really interesting. So there are shared crossings. That's what the first example is called, where the person finds himself accompanying the dying person in a visionary reality consisting of gardens, castles, otherworldly regions, or a void. And there is a boundary beyond which the living person is able to go. So they are stopped because they're not ready.
I wonder if the stoppage feels like you're up against a wall, or what that feels like that says, okay, I can't go any further.
They say that you just feel stopped. Like I've also read, and people have told me that when you go to the other side in a near death, there's a like a homing pigeon route for you to travel. You have your own route, okay? And you flow in that direction, and then the flow stops.
Interesting. I wonder when a baby dies, how that's experienced, because they don't have a life review, at least not in that lifetime. So, like a stillbirth or, under a year of age. Has there been any?
Well, I have read about those. I don't have any examples for today, but I would believe that they would have their guardian angel or spirit that would guide them.
Would that would guide them. That would make some sense to me. There was a movie years ago that was called Heaven Is Real.
Yes, it's wonderful. They just mentioned that at lunch yesterday.
Really? Yeah,
Yeah.
it's a beautiful story. I thought it was supposedly based on a true story, and I've had some people say no, they later admitted that it was just all made up, but it seems so real that if it was made up or parts of it were made up. But I thought that historically, the girl at the very end of that movie that's in France, that's painting pictures, and I know that that was real, where she is making millions of dollars at times for these pictures that back when she was 10, so I don't know how old she is now, she was painting. And there was a comment, a person that interviewed her. And they said, well, how can somebody your age create such beautiful masterpieces? Did you hear what she said? So her response was, I hold the brush and God paints the picture.
Yeah, that's true. That's a lot of, and if you go to Lilydale, where mediums live, there are lots of paintings in this old building, a hotel that was built in the 1860s, painted by mediums, and it just comes through them. And that's automatic writing, too. So if a medium writes in the handwriting of Albert Einstein, they say that it's Albert Einstein coming through her hand.
Really,
Yeah.
really.
And because how could you copy somebody's handwriting, but spirit coming through? And in my research on mediumship, this one trance medium said that there's so many spirits waiting up there to come down that they'll come into anybody, any medium that, because apparently they see a light over the person who has this ability, and then they just try to come in. So there's a lot of competition to come in. But I remember that movie because my grandson was young then. He's now 18, but he was 4 or 5, and I read him the book. It's Colton Bebko, and I believe it's a real story because his family was interviewed, and I saw Colton. He was then 10 or 11, and then when the movie came out years later, Duncan and I went to the movie. It was wonderful, and he felt like he knew Colton,
I bet he did. I bet he did. And the pastor, I mean, he had taken, the father in this, he had taken on a church that was kind of struggling. And I know at the very end of the movie, they were showing, that it was packed, the parish that he was ministering to. So,
And there's another story too about him. His mother didn't believe it. His mother just said to the father, "Look, he's been going to church since he was born, and he knows what Jesus looks like, and he just said he met Jesus." And just, she didn't believe it until one day, after a couple years of this, he was sitting in the living room, and he had an older sister who was there, and she was ironing. The mother was ironing, and he said, "What was the name of my sister who died before she was born?" And he, no, what was the name of my sister who was born before me? And she said, "Well, there's your sister right over there on the couch." He said, No, not that sister. The sister that was supposed to be born before her." And the
and
mother
that's how she knew.
had a miscarriage. And he never had said anything to the kids about that. And then she knew that he had seen. And he said, "My sister wants to know what her name would have been." And because that's what they want to know. The ones that are aborted or miscarried, what would you have named me? So apparently that's important on the other side for the energy. And she said, "Well, we didn't know if it was a boy or a girl at that time." But then she told him the name if it had been a girl.
Yeah, I mean, there have been some beautiful stories indicating that, this is indeed the truth. It's accurate. But I think so many times what we can't understand with our human mind, while we're in the physical, the spirit knows. I mean, if you go to, I always tell people you've got 40 million brain cells that are in your heart. And if you learn to go to your heart where your intuition is, it will always guide you correctly. It's just that we have a tendency to stay in our thinking, intellectual brain and try to figure things out. And then we can get misled.
So the heart
The
always
ego gets in
tells
the
you what's right.
way. Well, let's talk for just a couple minutes about after death communication itself. What does that actually mean, after death?
Like for instance, after death, you can sense a presence. That's one of the biggest after death communicators, is that you sense your deceased loved one in the room with you, right? And that's the biggest one, the most common form. And it's an unmistakable feeling that your loved one is there. Maybe you smell the perfume or the cigar or whatever, so you also get that proof. But it's most often reported days or weeks after a loved one's death. But also has been reported months or years later. And then visions. People report seeing their loved one in the air. And there's a lot of color usually around that. And vision may be seen by the eyes or in the mind. And this book talks about a term called mind sight, where you see with your whole body when you're on the other side. which makes sense to me. And that was discovered by Kenneth Ring, who wrote a book on the people who are blind and the near-death experiences they have on the other side that they can see.
And if they can see, like for the first time.
Apparently, I don't know. Some people are blind at 5 or, blind at birth. And then out of body, when you're asleep or in a meditative state where you leave your body and visit a loved one in a very beautiful place. So that is something that can happen. And usually when you're asleep or dreaming, and lots of color and light. So it's different than a regular dream.
Did you ever read the book The Shack?
Yes, I did years ago.
Yeah. And then, of course, the movie. But I mean, in that, I mean, he obviously, whether you believe that he had a concussion, and all of the book is when he was unconscious laying in the snow, or whether it all actually happened, I did meet that author. And he was doing, I don't know whether he was from Wisconsin, to be real honest with you, but I met him in Wisconsin and he had been doing a book tour, but he was going to churches and he was speaking at these individual churches and it was full. But he explained that every year he would write a small story as a Christmas gift to his family. And this year he was late sitting down to write, but when he sat down, it was like an automatic writing, if you would.
Yes.
And, 270 pages later, he had a book instead of a 30-page little story to give at Christmas time. It was an actual book. And so he explained how he and his friends pooled their credit cards to create 1,000 books that they thought would take years to get rid of, and it took like 6 months, and then the next, go round, they did 10,000 books, and then, the rest is history. Because it was when I bought my copy, which I didn't buy, right after it came out, but I think it was already like 5 million had been sold
Yes.
worldwide and had translated into these different languages.
Yeah.
So,
Beautiful world.
those are the kind of things that I think begin to open people's eyes, that there is something on the other side, and that it's not just you're born, you live, and you die.
Yes. And the things we're talking about this morning, people hearing that will know that these things do happen. And so when you use lists like this, well, with a client, it reduces their fear of being mentally unstable, and they understand, well, I didn't have that, but I had something like that, right? So an excellent book on that, though, also is a little book called Hello from Heaven, written by the Guggenheims, who were a couple that were married in 1997. And so they did research in 1997 on, and they have all kinds of things in there that, the birds or the coins or whatever it is that you find that reminds you of your loved one. So that's a great little book to pick up. You could probably get it used now. So those are different types of after death communication. And some people hear their name called. I just went to a Thanksgiving party down here and with my son and my grandson's in-laws, and there's a woman that said she keeps hearing this voice calling her. And actually her son brought her over to me and said, my mother hears this voice, and she's been hearing it for 2 years now. Now her husband, she's newly widowed. So she said it doesn't sound like her husband. So I told her that when she goes to sleep at night, before she does, she writes a little note to this voice. I said, you're not crazy because you hear a voice. Lots of, that's important to know, right? Lots of people hear a voice. Now, so you write to the voice that you're just a little confused. You can't recognize the voice, and you'd like to know who the voice is. Now, number one, and then what is it that they're trying to tell her, right? And so her son afterwards said, I don't think she's going to do that. I said, well, because she's a non-believer. Well, she wants to just keep hearing this voice. Okay. But when you do that, like that's a good way if you've had a deceased loved one that you would like to come into your dreams and they aren't, or you had one dream, now you want more. You just write them a note before you go to sleep and say, I want you to come into my dreams. You give them permission. And that really works because I've had clients, new people call and say, how do I get this? And then they call back in a week and they've had two dreams and they're so pleased because it
Everything.
calms their grief so much to
Right. I would think that would make a big difference.
oh.
The one thing that I would guess would be important to remind people to do, and I'm sure you do this, is to put a protective bubble around them. You know, if they're asking for confirmation or for a spirit to come in that might be trying to communicate, so you don't end up with a spirit that maybe is not a nice one. You know, that's getting, because like you said, I think they are lined up trying to, you know, get to be heard, and you know, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. And so I always think of Whoopi Goldberg when she was in the movie Ghost.
Yes. That
And
was
you know, she did not want him inside of her at all.
I've talked to mediums that has happened to. They say you have to really trust the spirit.
Yeah, you do, I'm sure. And
Really.
if it's a little person going into a little person, but if it was like a big spirit, probably be a little uncomfortable.
Into a
Well,
woman.
Karen, we're going to have to stop for today, but we know we're coming back. We know that we're going to be talking about more of this part, and you will have already done your course or your webinar that you're doing. So let people know real quickly how they could sign up for the webinar.
Sure. You go online to CE, capital C, capital EYOU dot org. That's the organization that I'm giving this webinar on January 16th, 2025. And it's I believe it's going to be from 7 to 10. That would be 3 hours, Eastern Standard Time. So
Okay.
then, whatever time that you have, you can come on and you'll get my handouts and. It'll be like a review of this new 2023 book.
Okay. Sounds fantastic. I'm planning on doing it myself, so it'll be fun.
And they can my YouTube or my website, KarenEHerrick.com, and they can see other things, for free where I'm speaking, and the YouTube also.
All right. Well, thank you very much again for being my guest today. I look forward to talking to you in a few more months. And please, everyone, go out there and make this your best life, because maybe we do have many different lives. And whatever we're working on in this life, you know, try to make the corrections if you can. Try to be aware of spirit wanting to guide you to help you live your best life. And we'll see you next Tuesday. Bye, everyone.
Boomers Forever Young is really making a name for themselves as an exciting nutritional company with products that really work. People from all over the country are starting to take notice. Their whole person approach to health and wellness, combined with their unique array of powerful natural health products, are setting them apart from all the other companies in the nutrition industry. Their customers love the one-on-one free consultations and the results they experience. Sound a little too good to be true? Then go online to boomerboost.com today and sign up for a free consultation with a product specialist, or just give us a call at 1-800-861-4609. Again, that's boomerboost.com, or call 1-800-861-4609 to join the thousands already experiencing the benefits of Boomers Forever Young products.